Do we have to be born again to go to heaven? Can we not enter heaven by doing good works, trying to keep God's laws, improving ourselves, or joining a particular religious group, or any other way? In the times of Christ, there was a very respected man in Israel by the name of Nicodemus. He was a ruler and master to the Jews in Israel. Even to him, Christ said these words, as we read them in John chapter 3. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He understood what Jesus said physically. But Christ continues in verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We have been born once by the flesh, that is, by our bodily parents. We must be born again by the Spirit of God. But why must we be born again to go to heaven? The reason is simply because we are sinners from birth, polluted by sin in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Also, any good works that we do will be worthless deeds in the sight of God. Why? Because our heart is impure and therefore not right with God. Some may think my sins are insignificant compared to many others. Still, others may think of a sinner as a very bad person and think of sin to be a great act of wrongdoing, such as murder, adultery, or robbery. Let's remember that it is not up to us to define what sin is. God says in 1 John 3:4 that sin is transgression of the law, or breaking of God's commandments. For this reason, when we sin, even if no one else is hurt or damaged as a result, God is hurt because we are breaking His laws. Also in James 2 verse 10 we read, For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. When we break only one of His laws, we become guilty of the whole law. Additionally, by God's description of sin, even when we accept wrong thoughts in our hearts, we have already sinned against God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 28, But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. 1 John 3 verse 15, Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. According to Colossians 3 verse 5, covetousness, which is a sin of the heart, is idolatry, which is the great sin of breaking the first commandment of God's Ten Commandments. Remember, sin is so evil in the sight of God that because of one single sin of Adam, the entire human race fell into condemnation. Let us hear how God describes the general state of man. In Romans chapter 3, from verse 10 to 19, we read, As it is written, There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. That's right. The whole world, everyone in the world is guilty before God. Furthermore, we read in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of this being the state and condition of mankind, Jesus said, we must be born again to go to heaven. It is obvious that as long as a person feels comfortable with his sins and does not think of sins and sinners as God thinks, he would not look for salvation from his sins. That is why Jesus started his preaching by these words, as we read in Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark 1, verses 14 and 15. And after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Repent literally means change your thinking. Change your thinking about your state, your sins, and the judgments of God on your sins. Instead of making light of or fun of your sins, or covering up or excusing your sins, think of your sins as very evil in the sight of God. When we become convinced of God's truths about our sins and conditions, we will then repent or change our thoughts about our sins, which will produce true sorrow and regret for what we have done to God by our sins. Then, and only then, instead of covering up our sins, we will repent of them and confess them to God. Then, instead of ignoring, mocking, making light of our sins, or even enjoying our sins, we will begin to hate them, avoid them, and stay as far as we can from any occasion to sin. Now that we know that because of our sins we cannot go to heaven as we are, because God's heaven is pure and holy, and no sin or sinner can enter it, how then can we become born again? Or what does that mean? Being born again is not reincarnation or coming to life after death in another body, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Before Adam ate of the forbidden tree, he was alive to God. That is, he had a good relationship and fellowship with God. He could speak to God and hear God. After he ate of the tree, he died to God. That is, his fellowship and personal relationship with God was destroyed, and he became dead to God. Instead of God being a source of joy to Adam, he became a source of fear to him, so that he would want to hide himself from God's presence. Sin brought death to his life and death to his relationship to God. Christ came to make us alive to God, that is, to enable us to have a personal relationship with God. He came to give us eternal life, that is, divine life, or the life of God. What then must we do to be born again? John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 give us the answer. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's right. They were born of God. Who were they? Those that receive Christ. To them, God gives power to become the children of God. Those that personally receive Christ by God's power will become a new person in Christ. As we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It is important to receive the Christ of the Bible. This means that we need to know who the Christ of the Bible is and what he has done for us. This is explained in his gospel. We do not have to know everything about Christ in order to receive the true Christ. However, we do need to know enough about him and his work so that we know whom we are receiving in faith. Christ means the Anointed One. Jesus Christ was anointed and appointed of God to save us from our sins. God had promised his people in Old Testament, the Jews, that he would send his Christ, the Anointed, or the Messiah, to bear their sins and the sins of all people, as we read in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 12. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The word of God is describing Christ in the Old Testament before his coming. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You may think, why did he have to be a sacrifice for our sins, so our sins be forgiven? Couldn't God just forgive and forget our sins without someone else dying for our sins? God of the Bible is so loving that in 1 John 4:8 we read that God is love. On the other hand, God is also perfectly just, and his justice demands that sin must be punished. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." We have sinned, and we have earned a wage for our sins, that is death. Not only the first death, which is physical death, but the Bible mentions the second death, which will be in the lake of fire or hell. But out of his love, God has thought of and accepted a way by which he can forgive our sins and maintain his justice at the same time, by letting Jesus Christ be punished for all our sins. You might think that sounds not fair, or that this is an easy way to continue to sin because someone else will be punished for it. First, since this is God's plan to save us and satisfy his justice, we need to be content and thankful for it. Think of all the sins we do in one day in thoughts, words, and deeds, not only sins of commission, that is, doing what is wrong, but also sins of omission, that is, failing to do what is right. In James 4:17 we read, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." The conclusion is that we are continually sinning, either by not perfectly obeying what God says, or knowing what we ought to do but fail to do it for a variety of reasons, such as fear, forgetfulness, or laziness. So, with so many sins, and at the same time remembering that one single sin makes us condemned, our state is truly desperate and hopeless without Christ. We need to stop trying to save ourselves or making ourselves right with God. It is impossible. Without Christ's intervention, we are only fooling ourselves to think that we can ever be right with God. Christ has done the work of making us right with God. The gospel means good news, and the most important part of the gospel is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received," the apostle is speaking to the Christians, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." You may ask, why was only Christ qualified to die for our sins? Because he was a sinless sacrifice. If he had sins of his own, he would need to be saved from his own sins. He died on the cross of Calvary and took the physical and spiritual punishments of the sins of the whole world, so we can be forgiven by God for Christ's sake. Don't we need additional persons or angels to help mediate between God and us? We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." The work of our salvation is finished once for all, and that is why Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." Seeking the assistance of the angels or the saints, Mary or a priest to complete the work of our salvation is a great offense to God, because it would be adding to the work already completed on the cross of Calvary. Neither Jesus nor any of the apostles prayed to angels or to Old Testament saints or to Mary for supernatural help. Since God is holy and we are sinners, God has anointed only Jesus Christ to be qualified to help us to enter His heaven. Remember, heaven belongs to God and is His residence. He decides how we can enter in His heaven, not us. There are two important reasons why we should not devise our own ways to go to heaven. Firstly, we cannot trust our hearts to find our ways to heaven, because God says in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 that our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. That is, our heart can deceive us easier than anyone else. Secondly, if a person tries to enter your residence not by your doors but through windows or other openings to your house, you would be alarmed. And what would God think of someone who tries to enter heaven but not through Christ? We read in John 10 verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." So when we try to enter heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ, who is the door to heaven, we become like thieves and robbers in God's sight. We read in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If we want to go to heaven, Jesus Christ is the way. If we want to know the truth about God, ourselves, and eternity, Jesus is the truth. And that truth is revealed in His words. If we want eternal life, Jesus is life. By receiving Christ personally and directly, we receive eternal life. Again, John chapter 1 verse 12 says that as many as received Him, that is, received Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the children of God. Notice, it does not say as many as received communion or baptism or church membership or laying on of hands or any other outward acts we or others may do to us, but receive only Christ as our personal Lord and Savior by faith. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 30, we read that when Paul and his companion Silas were miraculously released from chains, the prison guard came to them and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Apostle Paul did not say, "You must first go to Jerusalem to join the church and get baptized and receive communion, and then you will be saved." He simply said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Also the thief on the cross next to Jesus believed on Christ just before he died. Jesus told him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." He went to heaven without having time to get baptized or receive the Lord's Supper or laying on of hands. Why? Because being born again or getting saved is a purely spiritual rebirth that can only be received by faith of the receiver. In Romans chapter 6 verse 23, the second part, we read, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Eternal life is a gift that you do not work for. A gift is not something that you work for, but you simply receive. In Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The thought of wanting to go to heaven by trying to be good and doing good works would mean then that we have earned our way to heaven, and that would no longer be a gift, which would be contrary to the word of God. John 3:7, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again."